Recording in progress.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Alameda County Board of Supervisors Personnel Administration and Legislation Committee meeting of Monday, October 13, 2025. May I have roll call, please?
Supervisor Tam.
Present.
Supervisor Fornato Bass.
Present.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. And we will start with the legislative update on the federal side, and we will find out from John when the federal government will reopen.
Well, unfortunately, I don't have the crystal ball. I won't be able to answer that question, but you have John and Emily on the line. Good afternoon, everyone. To kick us off in the schedule, the Senate is going to be in session this week. The House will remain out of session as it has been for the past for almost a month now. The Senate was scheduled to return to Washington tomorrow, and the House again will remain out of session regardless of the House being in recess. House Democrats plan on returning to Washington tomorrow in an attempt to try to continue funding for the federal government. Of course, everyone is curious what's going on with the federal government shutdown. The government enters now its third week of shutdown with the 13th day in a federal shutdown, with efforts to resolve the funding standoff essentially stalled in the U.S. Senate after failing to pass either of the proposed continuing resolutions last Thursday morning. The Senate recessed for the weekend, and of course today is the federal holiday, so they will not be back until tomorrow. Senate Democrats blocked the House passed November 21 CR for the seventh time Thursday, and Senate Majority Leader John Thune has since blocked further votes on Democrats' October 31 CR alternative, further narrowing the legislative maneuvering room that's provided to the Senate. Senators will return tomorrow and is scheduled to take an eighth vote on the House passed CR, and we do not anticipate any additional Democrats to break from their stated position and support the bill. So far, there are three Democratic senators that have broke ranks and voted along with the Republicans, and there is one Republican that has broken ranks with his majority party and voted with the Democrats. Talks between congressional leaders have largely been informal. Senate Republicans have discussed advancing a vote on the Enhanced Affordable Care Act premium subsidies in exchange for Democratic support on a continuing resolution. But Democrats have said that they need a broader guarantee on the legislative path forward, not simply a handshake agreement, which has previously been discussed. Republican leadership have reiterated that they will not begin negotiations on those healthcare provisions until after the government is reopened, hence the ongoing stalemate. Meanwhile, federal employees have started to miss paychecks as of last Friday. Active duty troops and other military personnel were expected to miss their first paycheck on Wednesday, October 15th. However, over the weekend, President Trump directed the Defense Department to reprioritize funding that they had in their coffers provided by the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, reprogramming that money to pay duty military personnel. The Defense Department stated that it will utilize the unspent FY25 money for research, development, evaluation, and testing funding to ensure the troops are paid. Additionally, President Trump and OMB Director Russ Vought did announce that the administration would begin to send RIF notices to federal workers on Friday, with some agencies being particularly hard hit, including the Treasury Department and HHS, and already court cases have been filed by several of the unions representing federal workers stating their illegality. In addition to the ongoing lack of progress in the Senate related to the CR, last week the Senate did pass its version of the 2025 National Defense Authorization Act by a bipartisan vote of 77-20. The House passed its version earlier this summer, with both chambers having advanced their respective NDAA bills. The legislation now will head to a conference committee to reconcile the differences between the two versions. The chair of the Senate Armed Services Committee locked in an agreement for 17 standalone amendments and a manager's package of about 50 amendments that was voted on block. So in one big fell swoop, this is typically how they package the non-controversial bipartisan amendments. Leaders of the House and Senate Armed Services panels aim to negotiate a compromise for the Defense Authorization Act sometime before Thanksgiving. And if a vote did not happen last week, many senators expected the chamber to abandon the effort and head straight to the conference negotiations with the House, sort of a more informal process. A major obstacle previously was resolved when Senator Gallego, a Democrat from Arizona, dropped his push for a vote on his amendment to label Ashley Babbitt ineligible for military funeral honors after the Air Force announced in August that they would provide them to her, something that was previously denied by the Biden administration. Some of the key amendments that were agreed to for those standalone, one of the 17 or several of the 17 amendments that I mentioned previously, was a vote for a Van Hollen amendment, a senator from Maryland, requiring the consent of the chief executive officer, such as a governor, for full-time National Guard duty performed in the state territory of the District of Columbia. The Senate also voted on an amendment introduced by Senator Duckworth of Illinois, limiting support of the armed forces to local law enforcement only after the White House submits to Congress a notification and written justification for the support of those federal law enforcement and National Guard troops. And then a third amendment was offered by Senator Merkley of Oregon, which would have required law enforcement officers to display at all times identifying information in a clearly visible fashion. All of these three amendments, of course, failed on a party line vote. And then finally, I'll just note that last week, Representatives Mike Levin and Sean Casten, who are the co-chairs of the House Sustainable Energy and Environment Coalition, sent a letter to Department of Energy Secretary Chris Wright, along with 163 other House Democrats, condemning the termination of $8 billion for projects that were set to lower electricity costs for Americans and increase grid reliability. And we've also included a copy of that letter for your review. The entire Alameda congressional delegation signed the letter, including Representatives Simon, Kana, Swalwell, and Saul. And I'll just stop there and welcome Emily to provide any color commentary that I may have missed, and of course, answer any questions you may have.
Sure. The only thing I would add, and Supervisor Tam, you know, you asked John when the shutdown would end. I think we're all a little concerned that with President Trump directing DOD to go ahead and pay the troops on Wednesday, you know, that was kind of a big day. And so now that Congress isn't feeling that pressure to pay the military, I think there's a concern that this could go on for a while. So I just wanted to make that comment.
Thank you, Emily and John. Let me just ask one quick question, and then I'll turn it over to Supervisor Ford and Bass. Compared to the first Trump administration, I think that was, what, 36 days of shutdown? I couldn't remember whether there was more gridlock back then from a partisan standpoint or more so now?
Well, the dynamic was a little bit different in the previous shutdown. Of course, the reason why that shutdown happened was because Congress was not willing to include wall funding in the regular appropriations bill, and President Trump vetoed the legislation. In this dynamic, it's Senate Democrats that are withholding their votes to pass a bill that was passed on a partisan level out of the House, but does have the consent of the majority party in the Senate. The other part of this is what that's interesting to note is the HHS bill and the defense bill during the previous long-term shutdown had passed. So this question of whether or not the troops were going to get paid was taken largely off the table. None of the appropriations bills for this year have passed this year. So the continuing resolution is the only vehicle by which discretionary funding is going out. So the dynamics are different this time around, because last time it was really a White House-led shutdown that was sort of peak of fancy, I'll say, from the part of the White House and by President Trump, versus this time, you know, it's being led by Senator Schumer, it's being supported by Leader Jeffries, in an effort to try to highlight an issue over healthcare, which is something that is, of course, strongly supported by Democrats. So the dynamics are a little bit different in terms of politics. I'll also say that this is an issue that splits the Republican conference, particularly on the House side, more than on the Senate side, with the extension of these enhanced Affordable Care Act tax credits versus the wall funding, which did not really split the caucus. The Republican caucus, but you know, couldn't get the bipartisan agreement to get it included in a continuing resolution or any appropriations bill. So I don't know if I'd say that the gridlock is better or worse than it was last time. It's kind of hard to say because the power dynamic is different than it was as well. Of course, you know, the continuing resolution last time happened when there was a changeover in Congress. So when the government did reopen, Democrats had gained control of the House. So there's kind of it's kind of comparing apples to oranges. But Emily, I don't know if I made any sense there. Maybe you could clean up some of my comments.
No, I think you're right. I mean, it's just different this time.
Thank you, Supervisor Fortunato Bass.
Appreciate the update, although I wish it was better news. Given that there's no immediate end in sight, and we heard last week that WIC will run out of money in one more week now, and SNAP is going to end at the end of October, are there specific things that we should be preparing for as a county?
I think we should internally be preparing ourselves for the possibility that some of this funding will be delayed by several days, if not weeks.
Okay.
At this point in time, because discretionary money is just not, will not be released anytime soon. I would also be, and I defer to Amy Costa on this as well, I'd be talking to our state partners to see kind of what their backup plans are in the event of a long-term government shutdown where these discretionary accounts are not being refilled with any sort of haste.
Okay. And we'll have our state update very soon. It would probably be helpful next week on the 21st during our work session to have another sort of broader update when we're all together, another broad financial and budget update. One more question. Given that we've got an airport here in Alameda County, the Oakland Airport, what's the conversation regarding air traffic control and potential issues having appropriate staffing?
I mean, I think that's just generally hitting the federal government writ large. The FAA and DOT have not been hit with the RIFs in the same way that some of the other agencies have. They have been experiencing staffing shortages because they don't have enough staff in the first place, and people have been calling out sick. So there's been kind of a quiet slowdown from the part of the FAA air traffic controllers. I don't know if this is a form of protest in form of from the ATC, but that remains ongoing. There will not be a separate standalone bill to keep funding the air traffic controllers, as there will be no standalone bills to kind of pick off different parts of the federal government's discretionary accounts. So those air traffic controllers, like we saw in the last long-time shutdown, will have to continue to come to work without pay. Now, the TSA is a little bit different there. You know, they receive annual appropriations, but they also do receive funding from their fees that are collected on tickets. So their funding can be stretched a little bit further than that of the FAA or the air traffic controllers, but by and large, they have to show up to work without pay like the rest of the federal workforce.
Okay. Thank you. And I did want to follow up from part of our conversation last week. I did have a meeting with Congresswoman Latifah Simon last week, and so she is researching the issue that came up regarding federal deployment and potential guidance around that. She also was potentially interested in joining us here at PAL in the future to share a federal update. So I can work with the chair as well as the administration around potentially scheduling that if that's amenable. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Representative Simon did come before it was a meeting that included all the department heads to prepare us for what was happening at that time with HR1. But it's really good to get an update now from her perspective. So when you mentioned that all the discretionary funding was going to go toward the military personnel or whatever was available because of the shutdown and the paycheck schedule, does it cover any like security adjacent type agencies, or is it just strictly the armed forces?
The money is just getting reprogrammed within the Defense Department.
Oh, okay.
Just so they're not they're not like cross-pollinating to other agencies. So it's reprogrammed money within the Defense Department to go to military pay. And I believe it's just for active duty military pay.
Okay. Thanks for that clarification. Not good news, but thank you for that clarification. Are there any other public comments on the federal legislative update?
There are no public comments.
Okay. Let's go to the state legislative update from Full Moon Strategies.
Good afternoon. Today marks the governor's final day to act upon any measures that were sent to him as part of this legislative session. As of this morning, there were roughly about 175 measures remaining and pending his action, concluding a final rush of decisions on hundreds of measures. Fiscal discipline remained a defining theme throughout some of his actions and specifically veto messages. Legislative analyst Chris McKaley noted that roughly 40% of the governor's past vetoes have cited unbudgeted cost as the rationale for the veto. McKaley noted that so far, about 20% of this year's vetoes have referenced budget concerns, and we expect that number to rise with the final bills being acted upon today. California, as you know, faces a projected $12 billion deficit next fiscal year. Over his tenure, Newsom has acted on more than 5,700 bills, vetoing roughly 14%, consistent with historical averages. With both legislative houses limiting their numbers to 35 bills per two-year session, fewer measures are expected to reach his desk next year in his final year. The governor's office, as always, has declined to comment directly on measures until he acts upon them, emphasizing instead that each decision will reflect his and the legislature's funding priorities amid the state's enacted budget. Late last week, billionaire Tom Steyer announced he will spend $12 million to back California Democrats' redistricting referendum, a major late-stage boost for the November ballot measure. The proposal would temporarily replace the state's independent congressional maps to give Democrats a better chance at winning five additional U.S. House seats, echoing some efforts by Republicans in Texas. Steyer's guerrilla-style campaign launched an ad on Jimmy Kimmel Live and aims to energize Democrats. His funding strengthens the pro-side effort that has spent around $44 million since September, compared to $27 million from opponents, led by Charles Munger Jr., who poured $30 million into defending the independent system he helped create, also through the initiative process. Governor Newsom obviously has endorsed the measure, arguing California must fight fire with fire. This late infusion of cash by Tom Steyer had some pundits wondering last week if he was positioning himself for a run for governor. And obviously there was the news about Katie Porter last week. And so lots of talk in Sacramento about who might be the front runner for governor in a race that is really one of the more wide open races for governor that we've had in recent years. So more to come on that. Of the bills that the county has taken a position on, as of this morning, there are about four that we are awaiting his action on. And of course, when we get that at some point today, we will update our report and send it out. With that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much, Supervisor Fortunato-Bass.
I guess my main question is, when the state legislators may talk about plans to support because of the ongoing shutdown.
Yeah, so there has been some question about this, and we actually did have a issue come up regarding TANF and Title IV-B funding. The state has a couple of different options. Some of the programs allow for the state to have a reserve fund. We found out from the Department of Finance, which is stands to reason because the state's in a deficit, they don't have a lot of these discretionary reserve funds. And for that particular program, they are anticipating that the state has enough funding to kind of float it through the end of October. And so there'll be a wide variety depending on sort of the program. There's a couple of options. The governor can always call a special session. There was some, you know, hubbub about that towards the end of session, whether or not he may call them back. Sometimes, depending on the particular program, there is some discretion within the budget for the administration to put forward transfers as long as it's approved by the Joint Legislative Budget Committee. And so I think in part this will be driven by how prolonged the shutdown is and the impacts on some of these programs. But certainly the governor could call them back, but he would need to call them back because they are officially not in session right now.
Thank you. Can you refresh my memory on SB 63 from Senator Aragin and Scott Weiner and the transit bill that affects the five Bay Area counties on the sales tax measure?
Yeah, that has not been acted on yet. It's an enrollment, which means it is before the governor right now. It passed both houses, and so this will be one of the handful that we're waiting for, you know, what he does today. But it passed, you know, with very little opposition. And so he has until today at midnight to act upon the measure.
Thank you. Appreciate that. I have no other questions. Are there any public comments on the state legislative update?
There are no public comments.
Thank you. Are there any public comments on items that are not in today? I'm sorry, there is a public comment.
Elvia, go ahead, please. You have 2 minutes. Elvia, do you have a public comment? You have 2 minutes.
Yes, this is Elvia Quiroga with the Alameda County Tax Collector's Office. I had brought up the issue last time you met in regards to the possibility of an executive order with the government shutdown related to property taxes. We are getting that question. Someone indicated they'd get back to me and I haven't heard back. Is there any talk about a potential executive order to grant an extension for those federal workers who are on furlough right now?
I have not heard of any of those. I mean, we can certainly ask the Department of Finance. There have been obviously dispensation given to, you know, for example, wildfire victims or other folks that had unforeseen circumstances. But we can reach out to the Department of Finance and see if they've heard anything along those lines. But I have not heard of anything personally.
Supervisor Tam, there are no more public comments.
Thank you. That's an important question. Appreciate it. Are there any public comments on items that are not on today's agenda?
There are no public comments.
Thank you. Will those online please identify yourselves so we can appreciate your participation?
Good afternoon, Valerie Arkin, Supervisor Miley's office.
Good afternoon, Jessica Blakemore, Alameda County Health.
Good afternoon, Michelle Sterrett, Alameda County's Housing and Community Development Department.
Amy Schrago, Supervisor Carter. Oh my God. Sorry, I'm home and confused. Amy Schrago, CAO's office.
Elvia Quiroga, Alameda County Treasurer Tax Collector's Office.
Thank you all for your participation and for the updates. This meeting is adjourned.